From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Must-read author Laura Hankin is known for delivering some really amazing, witty, smart, funny women's fiction. And she is back with her latest novel. It's called The Daydreams, and we are lucky enough to have her with us today. Laura, really nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. I feel like that intro was just so nice for my ego.
Well, you know, but it's all true, though, actually. So before we get to the new book, I want to briefly talk about your 2020 release, Happy and You Know It, because it follows a musician, and she basically teaches kids, you know, like she goes around and she's, you know, entertains children, teaches kiddos, but she befriends the wealthy moms of these children. And I'm so curious as to where you got this idea, because we should also let people know your two other novels have actually been optioned for like TV series and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. So the Happy and You Know It idea came to me because that was my job. I, after college, moved to New York. I was trying to be an actor. And then I started writing on the side. But in the meantime, to stay afloat, I did all sorts of random odd jobs, including being a playgroup musician. So I was like going around to these wealthy women's apartments and singing the Wheels on the Bus to their babies and spending a lot of time just wondering what their lives were like. And so it proved to be very fertile ground for a novel.
I bet it did. Okay, so let's talk about the latest book, The Daydreams. Give us a brief synopsis of sure. This new book.
So The Daydreams is about the stars of an early 2000s teen TV show who, at the height of their fame, implode on live TV in the most scandalous way possible. And now it's 13 years later, they've all gone in very different directions. One is, you know, a successful movie star. One is a cautionary mm-hmm. tale. One is mostly known for being a famous athlete's wife. And one of them fled Hollywood entirely and is a corporate lawyer. but the network demands that they come back for a reunion special. And so they do. And the special has the power to potentially give them the redemption they so desperately crave, but also the power to potentially destroy them all completely.
So where did you get the idea for this new book?
I think like a lot of people, I had gotten really into early 2000s nostalgia over the past few years. And, you know, that was the time when I was a teenager and a tween. Mm-hmm. And so I was really invested in all those celebrities and all that music. You know, I like that all that stuff has this chokehold on me that I probably will still be thinking about on my deathbed. but, you know, I think even as I was listening to the music and rewatching some of the movies, and it was very comforting in certain ways. Mm-hmm. I was noticing, like a lot of us, that so many of the young women in particular, who were these big shining starlets at the time, had gone on to really struggle in the years since. And this was also around the time that the Free Britney movement was gaining mm-hmm. traction. Mm-hmm. And we were starting to acknowledge that maybe we had kind of destroyed some of these women for our entertainment. So I was interested in examining, you know, if we accept that these women were more than we thought they were, like, how do we move forward? How do they move forward? How do they forgive us? And how do we forgive ourselves?
You know, I think
but also
this is
I wanted
so
to make it all like juicy and fun and entertaining.
Well, of course, right?
Yes.
But I think you bring up such good points, because I think back to like, let's say the Justin and Britney days, right? I mean, Justin Timberlake mm-hmm. and Britney Spears for maybe folks who, you know, didn't, you know, dive into that time. But it also reminds me of like Lindsay Lohan, right? Because mm-hmm. you have these two female stars, right? Who were larger than life in the early 2000s. And both of them had such struggles, right? Mental health struggles. And they were vilified. Whereas you look at Justin Timberlake, right? And he rose to fame. There was no accountability for, you know, him basically coming out and saying some things that should have stayed private within his and Britney's relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can go super, you know, really deep and morbid with that. But at the same time, it's this, I think, dichotomy, right? Of like, well, we'll put this guy up on a pedestal, but look at these two women. And right. I mean, did you think about that as you were writing? I mean, I know you want to entertain folks and it to be fun and juicy, as you said, but there's a big part of our culture that just allows women to fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a huge part of what I wanted to explore with this book. You know, the stars of the show, the two main stars, one of them is a young woman and one of them is a young man. And I really wanted to see like what were the different pressures on them? And particularly for the young woman, I think she was getting hit from all sides with these expectations. And this was a thing that was really big in the early 2000s and I think is still big. But, you know, people wanted her to be both like very pure and virginal while mm-hmm. also being like an object of sexual fascination for so many people. And she was supposed to be a relatable girl's best friend, but also a movie star. And it's just like, no wonder if you're getting hit from all sides with this stuff that you're going to go through struggles. And yet instead of, as you mentioned with like Britney and Lindsay Lohan, instead of treating those mental health struggles with compassion, it was fodder for our entertainment, right? Like, oh, what mm-hmm. wild thing is this starlet going to do next? Whereas, yeah, I think a lot of the young men got to escape without being under quite so much of a microscopic lens. But I was interested in exploring through the male character in the book, you know, what were the ways that it still affected him and what were the things that he went along with at the time, because it was this old boys club and you were supposed to do and say things that now 13 years later, he was maybe reconsidering or were weighing on his conscience.
Well, I think you do a really good job in the book to explore this idea of how I think our society really, we really empower men in a way to be ambitious, right? It is seen as such a good thing, yet ambition in women is viewed as this absolute negative. And we still struggle with that, even though this book was set in the early 2000s. You know, 20 plus years later, we still struggle with that.
100%. And I think we like to pretend that we've gotten a lot better at it. And maybe we don't use some of the same language that we used to use back in the day. But I don't know. You look at the women in the spotlight today, and they're coming under immense pressures still.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Okay. So I want to switch gears a bit, because another theme in the book that I noticed and is this theme of, so you have very close friendships, right? That have, some of them have lasted past the, you know, here we are 13 years later, they are still friends, but man, there is some resentment, among some of these friends. Why put that in there? Because I think it would be very easy to just gloss over that and just be like, oh, they were all happy for each other. I don't think that's human nature, right?
It's not. I mean, look, it's hard enough to not be jealous of your friends sometimes when you're just living your regular life.
But right.
If you are famous and everyone is like, oh, here are these two girls and this one's the hot one and the other one is the replacement. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You would have to be an actual saint to not let that get to you.
Okay, so I'm very curious. There are the four main characters, Kat, Liana, Noah, and Summer. Which one do you relate to the most, if any of them?
I mean, probably Kat. So Kat plays the mean girl back in the day. Although I feel like that makes me sound like I'm a horrible person. She's not mean in real life. She just gets cast in that role because her face looks like she could play it, and she
Yeah.
does play it well. But and she's the one who leaves Hollywood to become a lawyer. And she's grappling with a lot of insecurity. And I always feel like if I had become famous as a teenager, I would have felt the way Kat did and like gotten very insecure.
Yeah.
But then I also think she's the one who was able to build out a somewhat more normal adult life. And so I relate to that as well. Although, of course, as soon as she gets thrust back into it all, with the reunion, all the old issues come bubbling up to the surface.
Was there a character that was difficult to write for you? And I only ask that because you really focus your novels really on these, I think, really strong, complex female characters. Yet in this book, one of your main characters is Noah, is a male. So was that a challenge to write?
Yes. Noah was definitely the hardest of the main four to write because he is the most fully fleshed out male character that I've written up to this point. Although my new book has an even larger male character. I'm growing,
Ah.
I'm learning, you know.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think also a difficult thing about Noah is that I wanted to keep the audience, in suspense a little bit about is he really in this just for himself? Or does he want to be a better man? And is he questioning some of the things that he did back in the day? And can he be redeemable if he wants to be? And so I think that was just, it was like a tricky needle to thread, you know? So I think Noah was the one who, throughout the different drafts of the book, it took the longest to get right. And it was a real nice moment when my editor finally on, draft three or whatever was like, yes, Noah has come into focus.
You finally figured it out. So,
You've written a man.
yes, you've done it. So I'm really curious when, I think the early 2000s is really when fame took off in our country. And what I mean by that is not just like, oh, you are, an actor or a musician, and we revere these people because of their talent and, et cetera. But it almost became an obsession with fame within our culture. And I don't know if it's gotten any better or not. But with that said, where did you find, I mean, did you have to do a lot of research, or when it came to fame, when it came to celebrity? Because I think there's a difference between, even fame and celebrity, right?
Yeah, 100%. I did a lot of research. In addition to rewatching all the movies and TV shows and listening to the music, and whenever anyone was like, "Are you sure you need to listen to the High School Musical soundtrack
You're like, yes,
again?"
I do.
Being like, "Yeah, it's important." I was looking at a lot of old interviews, paparazzi footage. I was reading the blogs. As you said, the early 2000s were this fascinating moment where all of a sudden, the internet was becoming a thing. So we normal people, we could participate and like become part of the narrative more than we ever had before. And we were getting more constant access to these people, right? It wasn't just like, oh, in the once a week People magazine coverage, we can find out what so and so has been up to. It was like, oh, somebody did something on a Tuesday. Well, by Tuesday night, it's up on Perez Hilton's blog with some incredibly snarky and mean take on it. And we can all comment. But it was also before social media had become so huge and ruined our attention spans and sort of sent us into all these different fragmented places. So yeah, there was a lot of material for me to sift through for research.
So before I let you go, what do you hope the takeaway is for folks that pick up this book? I mean, I know, of course, you want them to enjoy it and I think escape, but is there a broader hope for you?
Yeah, I mean, I want us to think more about empathy, and that like you never really know what someone else is going through or how they're experiencing an event that you are also experiencing, and just this idea that like we can make mistakes. We all do make mistakes, and that doesn't necessarily make us a bad person. It's just a question of what are you willing to do to try to make things right.
Good point. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciated talking with you.
Oh, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking with author Laura Henke, and her new book, The Daydreams, is out right now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast and its latest series, Taking Cover.